All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's a t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Oh, I got a live one here.
This is Geek Stuff. I am Big Kev.
And I am Matt Cipolletti.
And we are proud and honored that you have decided to download our inaugural version of Geek Stuff. Ugh.
Yeah, the olden days.
Wow, that was 6 years ago.
I went back and listened to that full episode. Yeah. We were so peppy and on top of the world.
And awful.
It was in all truthfulness.
Yeah.
It wasn't terribly far off from where
we
were.
That's a horrendous thing to say.
No, I mean, what I mean was, I honestly feel that we have made some great strides in the past 6 years.
Uh-huh.
However, going back to that very first episode,
right.
I'm still proud of that episode.
Yeah.
And I still think that episode is way better than some of the other shit I listen to.
A lot of the crap out there today.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm putting out there.
I'll take that as a fair assessment. It's only when we look at ourselves.
That's right.
And not comparing to other things. Like if we just look inward.
That's right.
I cringe.
So yeah, that was, for those of you who've been with us for 6 years.
Yes.
That was episode one.
Episode 1.
I don't even know that we had a title. I think it was just episode one.
No, it had a title.
Did it have a title?
I think it did.
I don't know that it did.
Well, while you look that up, OG, I will tell the audience that this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The very first episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Is that what it was called?
That was the title.
What was the second one?
The search for episode 3.
There you go. See? So, like, we started doing funny stuff right out of the gate. Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 244, 6 years and cringing.
That's right. Oof.
So, yeah. Wow. 6 goddamn years. That's more than half a decade.
That is more than half a decade.
6 years. So much has happened in 6 years.
A lot of stuff has happened.
That's true.
It's a good episode. Go back and listen.
No.
No,
we're, you know what though, OG, you know what we should say is if God forbid you actually wanted to go back and hear the old episodes, and you might, some of them are pretty
sure
funny. A lot of interviews in the past there that I think
absolutely
that were really, really killer. A lot of killer stuff. A lot of stuff that we first reported in some of those episodes, and yeah, a lot of stuff that goes back quite a few years. And where can they check those out, OG?
If they go over to bigkevsgeekstuff.com, they're all over there. Of course, if you subscribe in iTunes,
right,
they are all over there. I was just looking at the old episode list,
yeah,
trying to find one in particular because you said interviews.
Yeah.
Episode 24 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the one with Jim Lee's voicemail.
Right.
For those of you
that was
who may or may not remember that one.
Yeah, that was, yeah, we were supposed to have Jim Lee on the show.
That's right.
And he got the dates mixed up.
Right.
So we just called and left messages on Jim Lee's voicemail. Well,
didn't we leave several during the course of the show?
We did. Yeah, we did. Actually, that one is a pretty funny episode. Actually.
And then I think it was the next episode, 25 or maybe 26.
After, yeah.
We actually got
Jim
on
Lee
the phone.
Actually came on the show.
But yeah, the first time, you know,
well, Jim Lee
it was stellar.
Jim Lee has always been very supportive of this program.
Absolutely.
And we do consider him a friend of the show. And he's appeared several times on the program
he
in
has.
Various... Yes. Ways video
yeah he's in I think
stuff.
It was in Studio V at one point in time too. Well, it was convention coverage, but
right
at one
right.
point in time yeah, yeah
what was it would be pre-studio
preview it was DCU it was the DCU panel at New York Comic Con.
Oh, that was
way back when.
Yeah, but there's other things too though. He was in some other things as well.
Oh, was
yeah.
that's the one I always remember. That's the one that YouTube always yells at us for having licensed, copywritten information in
humbug.
Our video that DC gave us permission to use.
Humbug.
But anyway, needless to say.
Right, so let's get to the news.
Geek stuff. All right, following What's up from last week. Ninja Turtles.
Canceled.
No, but that's the title.
Canceled?
No, Ninja Turtles.
Oh, it's just Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles is the title.
Wow.
All right, now, a lot of people got real pissed at Michael Bay for that, because, of course, this played right into the, well, not, they're
not teenage, right, they're not mutant.
Right. And according to Michael Bay, that was a decision that was made by, not him. It was made by I guess the powers that be at whom, wherever, which I
deny.
I almost probably sort of kind of a little bit believe that.
I don't believe that at all, because I think Michael Bay, now that he has, kicked a hornet's nest, not to, you know, not to bring books into it, but now that he has gone and pissed everybody off about it, now right. he's trying to cover it. It wasn't me.
Well, he flat out said it was Paramount, and Paramount hasn't come out and said no, so we'll see.
Well, what are they going to do? Yeah. Are they going to come out and say no? What, Paramount is a faceless,
I know.
Corporation that can just be like, we don't care what anybody thinks. We're still going to put it out.
And then to follow up on something else we mentioned last week, Bay continually referring to, I'm working with one of the original creators. And we were like, well, it's not Eastman and Laird, so who is it? No, it's absolutely Eastman.
It's Kevin Eastman?
Absolutely, 100%.
Wow.
Kevin Eastman, had a quote on his Facebook page. Hey, guys, sorry to have been away for so long. Completely swamped with work, but it is some pretty exciting stuff. I've been invited to check out the TMNT film development by my friend Scott, blah, blah, blah. He's been brought on to... I'm officially on board. I'm working with the director and the producer, Michael Bay. They're doing an awesome job, yada, yada, yada. So yeah, it's
bullshit.
Well, look, Kevin Eastman sold his soul long ago. That's why Peter Laird sold everything to Eastman and was like, I'm out. So,
more or less,
And Peter Laird, a lot of people, there's this story floating around online that Laird supported Bay's position. But
You
actually read it, if you don't read the snippets that people are putting in their blogs,
right,
and you actually read the full Peter Laird's full story, I think it's more of a,
I got, oh,
no, no,
it's out of my hands.
Oh, sure. It's a great idea. Oh, eye roll, tongue in cheek, nudge, nudge, wink, wink kind of thing. I don't really think my impression is he's not actually supporting it at all. And I don't really think he talks to Eastman. I think that relationship is done, isn't it?
I can't remember the last time. I was at a convention. I don't remember which one, regrettably. I would say not terribly long ago, where they were both there.
Oh,
but they were not together. No, they were at, in fact, they were on complete opposite ends of that show.
Because I was going to say, Kevin Eastman pops up all the time, especially when he was doing all that work for Heavy Metal Magazine.
He owns Heavy Metal.
Right.
He used his Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle money to buy
Heavy Metal.
Julie Strain. And Heavy Metal Magazine.
But I want to say, I think I've only met Peter Laird once, and I'm pretty positive I've met Kevin Eastman at least a dozen times.
I met them both when I was 15. They signed all of my issues.
Your original issues.
Which we lost in the flood.
Right.
So, which really sucked, because I had to throw them away. That really hurt. But yeah, I mean, I've met them both on occasions. I may have interviewed Kevin Eastman for this program at one time.
Oh, God, really?
I think I did.
Okay.
I don't know that we ever... Maybe we didn't use it. I mean, I should see if I still have it somewhere. But I thought at one point that I got a little mic time with Kevin Eastman.
Could be.
I don't remember when. It wasn't when they did Heavy Metal, the movie 2.
I have a Kevin Eastman head sketch somewhere.
Which is...
Ugh. I have a Donatello sketch. Oh, no, actually, I don't even think it's a head sketch. I think I have a Donatello sketch somewhere.
By him?
Yeah, I asked him to do Donatello for me. Everybody else was asking for Raph that day. I asked for Donatello. So.
Of course, because men like Raphael.
But Donatello was the best.
And the gals like Donatello.
Oh, so. The gals like Leonardo, or perhaps Michelangelo. Donatello, you know.
The kids like Michelangelo.
Yeah, that's right.
I think.
Cowabunga.
I think, not sure who likes Leonardo, but I'm definitely sure the gals like Donatello.
Because he has a staff? Is that what you're getting
that's
at?
That's it.
All right. And
I wasn't going there.
Anyway, let's move forward.
Yes, sir.
Terra Nova. Remember that show?
Canceled.
Right. Well, no, we know it was canceled. That's not surprising. The rumors earlier this week was that Netflix was possibly going to pick it up. And Netflix did not pick it up.
Thank God.
But I find it interesting that Netflix is actually showing interest in these canceled shows. They showed interest,
uh-huh,
and they just made a decision to not pursue it.
You know, the one canceled show that they showed interest in, Arrested Development, is actually
that's gonna actually have new happening. Episodes for them. But yeah. I think that Netflix as a content creator, rather than just a content provider,
is
smart and interesting at the same time.
I think it is eye off the ball.
Really?
They totally lose. Yeah, because he has said more or less that he wants to be HBO.
Yeah, but I think what he's realizing is that there are alternatives to Netflix. Streaming, right? And video rental. But if Netflix has something, for example, what Arrested Development fan isn't going to join up for Netflix, at least for as long as...
Right.
Because Netflix isn't like a yearly contract. It's month to month.
Right.
So let's say they get Arrested Development and they run it over the course of 6 months. What Arrested Development, man, isn't going to join up?
6 episodes, sir.
I know.
One a month for 6 months.
Whatever. The point being, I think they have a good idea. It'll just be interesting to see what properties they actually pick up and run with.
Meh. You know who Sheldon Moldoff was?
I feel as though I should. However, I do not.
Well, he's dead.
Well, that's a shame.
He was the last.
He didn't work for Hitler or nothing, right?
No.
Okay, good. So it is a shame.
He just passed on February 29th. He was 91. He is the last surviving contributor to Action Comics number one.
Oh, that is sad.
He did a one-page feature on the back of the issue. But then he went on to do a lot with Batman and Detective, although Bob Kane's name is the only one that ever appeared. He did the cover for Flash Comics number one, which was the first appearance of the Jay Garrick Flash.
Okay.
That's the one with the helmet.
Right.
He also illustrated All-American Comics 16, which is the first appearance of... OG,
I have
DC
no idea.
Comics history, the Alan Scott Green Lantern.
Oh, okay.
He is one of the creators, I guess, maybe the creator of Ace the Bat-Hound.
Nice.
The original Batgirl, which was Betty Kane.
Right.
That would be the Golden Age one. Batmite, Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy are all sort of his kind of, I guess, contributions to the DC universe.
So he was pretty important, is what you're saying.
He also was one of the developers of EC's horror comics.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was...
Tales from the Vault and Tales from the Crypt and all that stuff, right? That was EC? Is that the right...
Yeah.
Is that the right line of books that I'm thinking of?
Yeah. And he passed away.
Well, that's a shame.
It's a shame. 91 years old, though.
91 years young.
Not anymore.
All right. Did you see the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift or Fast Five?
No.
Neither did anyone. However, Justin Lin, who was the director behind those projects, is currently possibly attached to a Lone Wolf and Cub movie.
Now, they did one or a series in Japan.
Yeah, but
it was
like
one off, or if it was a series.
It was old, wasn't it? Like the '70s or the '80s? It was pretty old, right?
I think it was the '80s or early '90s.
Oh, it was really that young. I thought it was older.
I could
than
be
that,
wrong.
But
no, Lone Wolf and Cub is only a property from like the '80s.
Is it the '80s? I thought it went back further than that.
I could be wrong.
Look, I'm not a huge Lone Wolf and Cub fan.
You know what?
Sort of.
You know what?
What?
If you think OG is wrong and you can prove it, why don't you give our GVM line a call?
425-920-6050.
And leave a message, and you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
So I'm sort of a fan of Lone Wolf and Cub. I've read a little bit of it. I don't think I've ever actually seen the series, although I know that it exists. Conceptually, I liked it. I always liked the designs for it.
Right.
What was that company? We've talked about their product on the show before that had the Lone Wolf and Cub figures, the 12-inch figures. Remember, they were the ones that were going to put out the house figure but never did.
They didn't do Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yeah, they had the Lone Wolf and Cub figures.
Somebody actually produced figures
for
Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yeah, what is that? You know the company I'm thinking
of. I know, but I don't remember now.
We talked about that. They had the barbed wire
figure. Yeah,
what the hell is that company's name? Anyway, so I mean, I'm familiar with the franchise, but I'm not an expert.
I know somebody actually produced toys for them. I'm reasonably sure.
Small toys?
No, 12-inch.
12-inch? Okay.
Yeah.
And was it Hot Toys or?
That's what I'm thinking. Medicom, maybe? Was one of them.
Medicom? That goes back to episode one through 100.
No, you're just going to anger them people in California. Medical.
Something or other. So anyway, there's that. Ra's al Ghul will appear in The Dark Knight Rises.
Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It makes sense.
This has been speculation for a while. Right. It's been rumored. We've all anticipated it.
Right.
But I guess in some sort of production notes for Wrath of the Titans, there was a blurb that was Neeson next appears in Peter Berg's actioner Battleship, and he will also be seen in Christopher Nolan's much anticipated action thriller, The Dark Knight Rises. So, I mean, it's just really confirmation of everything.
Curse those Wrath of the Titans slip ups.
Yeah, it's really just confirmation of pretty much everything we think we sort of knew.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it's not, you know.
He's going to die.
Yeah, all right.
I think Nolan's going to kill him. Batman.
Batman. That's you think so?
That's what I'm speculating.
You think he's going to flat out kill him?
No, I think it's going to be, you know, dramatic and whatever.
Because I'm thinking, I've been thinking about this since we first started talking about this whole kill him thing. I think a great way, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I probably am, I'm sure, but a great way for Nolan to go out with a bang, but still kind of protect the franchise, would just be to make Bane break him. Just don't kill him.
Right.
Just break him, like in the book. And that way, he disappears for a couple of years. The franchise goes away for a couple of years.
And then they could bring it
back. And when Warner Brothers wants to bring it back, you have a rich world that Christopher Nolan created that you could try to repopulate without starting from scratch.
Maybe.
Is all I'm saying.
That's a good idea. I just don't think they're wise enough
to do that.
To do that. Because I think what's going to happen is, I think if Avengers does well, this is certainly going to happen, that they're going to go in a direction of bringing these characters together in a, you know, in a Justice League
movie
type movie.
Right. Yeah.
But I think, again, just like Marvel, it took how many years to develop that? You know, how long ago was Iron Man 1? Wasn't that like 2006 or something?
I think the problem is that Warner Brothers needs to step up their game outside of the Batman film franchise.
Well, and they've certainly have the right pawns in place to do that. Well,
we know Superman is coming.
Right.
The Flash movie has been all but killed.
Right.
Even though there's still, every now and again, I hear like, it's not quite
dead. Green Arrow TV show.
Right.
Not that that will play anything. Not
that really plays into it. But
what's left? Green Lantern.
Well,
oh, right.
And you still hear inklings about that.
Never going
to happen. And, you know, and Wonder Woman has been killed in the TV world, at least, again.
So who knows?
But my point is that, you know, let's go back a year before we were off the air for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
I distinctly remember on this program, we had a conversation in anticipation of the Harry Potter film franchise wrapping up.
Right.
Warner Brothers put out a statement that said that the DC movie franchises were going to become their tentpole movies. Yep.
That's until Green Lantern failed, I think.
You think that Green Lantern alone killed that?
No, I think the fact that...
It put a little bit of a...
I think the fact that the last Superman was an absolute disgrace.
Right, but remember, Superman was before that statement.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, what they were going on at the time was there was good buzz about a Green Lantern movie.
Right.
Of course, we had just come off of Dark Knight.
Right.
And there was another one coming.
Right.
And that they knew that they were going to reboot Superman. And Nolan was involved. And Nolan had just given them a Batman movie that won Academy Awards.
Right.
So it was clear that they definitely wanted to go in that direction. I just don't think... I think everything that's happened since, I think, has just a deterrent.
Right.
For that thing to happen, for that direction to happen. Well, maybe they still want to go in that direction. That's fine. I just don't see it working.
I think
that would require them, however, to reboot Batman.
A major component of them moving forward is Superman being successful.
Yeah.
If Superman falls on its face again,
yeah,
that's it.
If Superman falls on its face again, I mean, they already have one clear strike against them. I even give them half of a second strike, like one line
right
in the X.
Right.
Because the Nolan Batman is not the Batman that's going to be in here, which means they're going to have to reboot Batman in order to get him in that kind of common universe.
They could potentially take the Nolan world and work it into there. You don't think so?
No way.
Why not? Gotham is really self-contained.
I don't think Nolan would allow it.
I don't know that Nolan's going to have much say.
Nolan has all the say. All right,
but here's the thing. If they're going to use that Superman
right
for part of the Justice League franchise, why wouldn't Nolan allow the Batman to go over as well?
Because he's creating, I think, a new DCU film universe with this Superman.
Separate from his
Batman. It's a reboot, absolutely separate from his Batman movies.
I guess only time will tell.
And I think what's going to happen is exactly that. If Superman is a success, they'll want to build on that success.
Right.
Not only for the Superman franchise, but for other franchises as well, which means, like Spider-Man, they're going to reboot it even though it's too soon. And they're going to try other things. They're going to try to get Green Lantern back. Probably by radically changing it. They're going to do, you know what they're going to do? They're going to do Hulk.
Right.
And Incredible Hulk.
Right.
They're going to do that whole reimagination of of the first movie in the credits of the new movie.
Right, right.
And that's how they'll reset Green Lantern. Maybe even they'll cast Nathan Fillion this time. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm talking right, about. Right. They would have to do that kind of resetting. They did it with the Hulk, and he was green. So clearly they could probably do it with Green Lantern.
It's I have to admit that it's completely mind-boggling to me that that Warner Brothers and DC can't get their shit together. If Marvel can pump out these movies, right? Let's put it this way. If Marvel can put out Ghost Rider.
Right.
And Ghost Rider 2.
Yeah.
How can Warner Brothers not put out a good movie outside of the Batman film franchise?
I think it's because
comic book wise.
Yeah, I know.
How
think
is
it's
that
because
possible?
I think it's because they are very well. First of all, Warner Brothers been around a lot longer than Marvel movies.
So you think they're scared to?
I don't think it's a question of scared. I think Warner Brothers thinks they know what they're doing right up until the moment it fails.
Right.
And then they're like, why did the Green Lantern movie fail?
Right.
Why is there, tens of millions of dollars in product that will never sell.
Still on clearance at Toys R Us.
Yeah. And going to be, and clearance everywhere and still going to be for years. Not the point. Because so is Star Trek, and that movie was successful.
Right.
So, you know, we can't really attribute one to the other. But what I'm saying is that they don't understand why kids didn't pick up on it and run with it, and older fans didn't pick up on it and run with it. They don't understand. To this day, they probably don't understand that Ryan Reynolds was a terrible choice. In my opinion, Ryan Reynolds was a terrible choice. And that the movie written with a comic, and I don't mean comic book, I mean funny, edge to it to kind of capitalize on who Ryan Reynolds is was a mistake.
Absolutely.
It should have been as serious as any other movie is serious.
I will agree with that.
And if they had just pumped an extra nickel or two into the effects, particularly on Io, which looked so glassy and fake.
Yeah, I don't.
You know what I mean?
I hear you. I feel you.
So we could sit here and criticize them all day. I just think if they're going to go in that direction of the Justice League, the conclusion is they're going to have to,
start from scratch.
Well, no. Well, yes. And I think Superman is the scratch.
Is the Superman is the Iron Man.
Correct.
All right. Fair enough.
The Man of Steel.
The man, right.
Is the Iron Man.
Man. All right.
Hopefully.
And with that, unless you have anything else, I think that's it for our news segment.
It is OG, and we will take our first break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 244, 6 years and cringing.
Yeah. And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 244, 6 years and cringing.
A little self-deprecating calling it and cringing.
Well, we do that. We know our place.
It's only because we've heard the first episode.
Right, right.
And if you go listen to the first episode over at Big Kev's Geek Stuff or what have you,
right,
you might cringe a little too.
You might, a little bit.
Geek Stuff. DVD News.
Light this week.
Yeah.
South Park, the complete 15th season.
Yes.
The only other thing was Eureka season 4.5. So really,
wait, don't you watch Eureka?
I love Eureka, oh. And Eureka is about to wrap up. However, I don't want to give Sci-Fi any props for season 4.5.
Oh, they did a half season box.
Wow. for the first two seasons, maybe three seasons, they were one, two, three, and 4. Then 5. Now it's 3.5, 4, 4.5, and then 5, I think, is getting ready to start, or 6 is getting, something is getting ready to start next week. And that's the final season, which is a shame. But, yeah, fuck them in their half season.
That season of South Park last year was really, really good.
Was that last year season 15? Are they actually caught up?
They've always been caught up.
I didn't know that. No, because, well, they weren't always caught up. Always. They were close to caught up.
No, when they first started releasing the DVD.
Yeah, they had to be on like season 10 by the time the first season came out.
You're thinking, you forget it's two seasons a year.
Oh, okay. So maybe that's
so
what
it is. It's, well, roughly it's two seasons.
Okay.
You know, so like the episodes that they're showing now would be like season 16, I think, if I'm correct about that.
All right.
Anyway, it was really good. And the season finale last season was great. The Return of Mysterion.
You remember? Oh, yes. The Return of Mysterion. That is good.
I know. I wish we would get more Mysterion, quite frankly.
Always Mysterion. The spinoff show.
Geek stuff. Comics, books, and graphic novels.
Call it Always Mysterion. Oh, yeah. Comics to check out this. I'd settle for
Would you not watch a weekly show with Mysterion and the Coon?
I would.
I would watch it every week.
I would read a comic based on those characters.
Every week I would read it.
That would be easy to do.
What were some of the other characters? The grape jelly?
It was Mysterion.
Right.
The Coon. The Kite.
The Kite, right.
Right. What were some of the other ones? I can't remember. Oh man, now I'm embarrassed. I gotta go look. Tupperware.
Yeah,
wasn't it like Tupperware?
Wasn't
one of them
some cereal or jelly?
Oh no, you mean Pinkberry Crunch?
Pinkberry Crunch. Yeah,
Pinkberry Crunch was. No, I was thinking of the kids we actually know.
Yeah, right.
You know what? And like Stan was like, was he like Tool Belt or something? He had all the tools.
Terrible.
I can't remember this one. There's a couple that I can't remember what Tokens was either, but there was a bunch.
Something racist.
Tupperware.
The hoodie.
Comics.
That's terrible.
Wow. Too soon.
Stupid Geraldo. Anyway, go ahead.
don't knock on Geraldo, sir. From DC this week, Batman the Dark Knight issue 7.
Right. This is Finch, right?
This is Finch. Yeah. Too bad because Finch is a great artist. And it turns out he's a pretty good artist.
Pretty good artist.
Paul Jenkins is the writer and co-plotter. See, Finch is co-plotting also.
Oh, I see.
You know what I don't like about Finch?
Sounds like tracing to me.
Kind of a douchebag in person, is all I'm saying.
Well, look, we've run into that before.
I know.
You can appreciate the work and not the artist.
Yeah, I guess.
AKA Mike Mignola.
Absolutely. And before that, you know, you remember who it was before that?
No.
Howard Chaykin. It's Howard Chaykin blew me off at a convention once and said that he wasn't an that comic something.
But Chaykin eventually did give you a sketch.
He did.
At that
years
later.
Do you
remember that show?
Yeah.
That was the Dynamite Forces show. Remember that? That was a good little show.
It was
a shame
little
that
show.
That was only a one and done situation.
Well, back to comics. Yes. David Finch and Paul Jenkins continuing the rather strange adventures of the Batman character. This one features Bane.
Right.
So check that out. I think this is in the final battle with Bane, it says.
The you have to pay for this sketch now story came from that show, too. Who was that artist? And his wife made you pay for the sketch.
It wasn't his, well.
Girlfriend. Whatever. That was that same show, though.
I think it was his wife who left him for.
Howard Chaykin?
No. Or another person that we know, unfortunately, which we shouldn't say who was her boss. Anyway, from Dynamite Entertainment.
Wow.
Coincidentally, this is Voltron number 4.
with cover by
Alex Ross,
of course.
And of course, Alex Ross is not the only person.
Now, how many covers are there for this episode?
Okay, there are
six,
two.
Seven.
There was this one by Alex Ross and one by Sean Chen.
Oh, okay, yeah, I actually like Sean Chen's.
You know what? And I'll tell you this too: the art in the book is not terrible.
Does Sean Chen do the art in the book?
I don't think he did do the art in the book. It was actually Ariel Padilla.
Oh yeah. I like his stuff too.
Actually, and I have to say, give it up to Brandon Thomas, who's writing it. It's actually been pretty good. I mean, if you're a fan of the original series.
Now, this is Lion Force.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes. So you should definitely check that out. Yeah, that's old school Voltron. We should say also, you should set an alert coming up. Go to MattyCollector.com. Because I believe it's the Yellow Lion is being issued in April at some point.
You know, in the we're getting off topic tonight, but it's all right. We're allowed. Okay. Thundercats came back this past week.
Oh, yeah?
That show is still one of the best shows. One of the best new animated shows on television.
Really?
It's fantastic.
It's too bad the toys aren't doing better, A, and B, that they have totally fucked up the classic line. Listen,
but the show is so good.
I know. I don't want to get off on a tangent here. I'm gonna get a picture of this. Maybe next time in the store, I'll just snap one with my phone and we can put it up on the website. I put together because somehow
we talked about
the old Tigras have made their way back into the store with the new classic Mumra.
Right.
And you stand them next to each other. Tigra's a full head taller than Mumra is. So anyway, from Marvel, Moon Knight number 11. Now, the reason we pointed this out is not because it's written by Brian Michael Bendis, which is very cool. Not because Alex Maleev is a great artist.
Ooh, I like Alex Maleev too.
And the art is really good in this book and has been. And that's fine. Those are not the reasons we wanted to bring this up.
Okay.
Because at the end it says to be concluded.
All right. Now, I haven't heard that this book was getting canned.
I haven't heard this book was getting canned. And it's fine with me if it is, but I haven't heard it's getting canned, and it's issue 11, so an issue 12 stop would make sense.
Well, maybe the story arc is getting concluded.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm speculation.
Also from Dynamite Entertainment.
Is that Henry Rollins on the back of that book?
It is not, sir. No. This is Green Hornet number 23.
Still going, huh?
Written by our friend Andy Parks, friend of this program. Covers by Phil Hester, Jonathan Lau, Brian Denham. You can actually, they show all the covers on the inside.
Well, isn't that lovely?
Oh, I got the Jonathan Lau cover. Well, I actually like the Jonathan Lau cover the best.
Congratulations. You win an award.
And I'm looking to be issue continued. 23. To be continued, sir.
Not to be concluded?
Not to be concluded.
Can we cut out to be concluded from the back of the Moon Knight book and paste it
just
into
tape it in there?
The back of the green?
No.
No? I tried.
No.
I tried.
Nope.
I tried.
I'm still enjoying this book. I think what I miss is the other books that have been canceled. Green Hornet Strikes.
Right.
Green Hornet Year One. I'm missing those books, but I'm still being a fan and trying to enjoy Green Hornet as long as it lasts.
All right.
What is this, 23? So 24 will have been 2 years.
That's a long time.
Maybe that'll be the end. I don't know. That's all I got in comics.
That's all you got in comics?
I don't have any trades this week.
All right. Well, that's okay. You know, something we don't have, but we probably should. We need events section.
We talk about them right before we wrap up and sometimes at the beginning of the show.
I know, but I think that we should have a thing.
You call our technical producer.
Right.
And you tell him, I want a thing.
I'm going to text him right tonight as soon as this is over. I'm going to be like, hey, before you go to WrestleMania, why don't you work on...
When is WrestleMania?
It's this weekend.
Oh.
And he's going down
soon,
whenever.
Yeah.
Why don't you work on an event? Actually, we have a convention news stinger, which I think, we do. I think so.
Do?
Yeah, we don't really use it, but I'm pretty positive we have it.
I don't think so.
Anyway.
Geek stuff. Convention news.
Listen, if you just heard the convention stinger, we have it. If not, I'm going to get one.
What do you mean if they just heard? What, are you going to slip it in there at the end?
That's what I do.
You're going to create it and slip it in and make me look bad.
That's how I roll. All right. So real quick, why don't we do this then? The Candy Coated Show, put on by Benny at Tenacious Toys.
Oh yeah, coming up. Benny.
This is April 21st from 7 to 9 p.m. at the London Candy Company on Lexington Ave in New York. It is a custom toy show.
Ooh.
And there are a bunch of artists that are contributing to the show, some of which are friends of the show and we like.
Lou Pimentel?
No, actually, I don't see Lou in there, but Rich Page is in there.
Oh, I know Rich Page.
Mr. Monk is in there.
Mr. Monk.
The Suck Lord is in there.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Suck Lord?
That's right. Adam Pratt is in there, friend of the show. He used to be over at Half Bad Toys, right? And actually, Aaron from over there is over there as well. Oh, doing something as well? Yeah, so there's a bunch of people in there that we know. So, yeah, April 21st. Again, if you go to Tenacious Toys, that's a Saturday night, I believe.
Oh, it is it?
If you go over to tenacioustoys.com and click on the blog, there's information there. I think if you go to their Facebook page, it's there as well. I'll throw a little thing up on the site for it.
I hope to be able to make that.
I'm pretty positive I'm going to attend.
Hope to be able to make that.
So there. That's our event news for this week. Now we can do that.
No.
Yes.
What if they hear this before Saturday?
That ain't happening.
Oh.
I can guarantee.
In which case, telling them that we had a wonderful time at the Geek Flea would be appropriate.
We had an amazing time at Geek Flea 3.
We are so happy. We are going to be at every Geek Flea.
That's right. As long as they will have us.
And we do have another announcement. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to make it. We're going to be appearing, hopefully, we're going to be appearing at a con in South Jersey in May. And there's another one also that we may be doing as well.
Yeah, there's one at some bowling alley in Asbury Park that I heard something about. It actually is Asbury Park Comic Con or Asbury Park Con.
But it's like Evan Dorkin's going to be there.
I think Jamal Engel is going to be there as well.
Oh,
but
all the stars.
Look,
I know Jamal, I love Jamal.
Is a lovely
Engel.
Man.
Yes, he
Hush
is.
You. But I haven't seen Evan at a show in a while. Does
no.
he still do a lot? And what is he working on these days?
I'm not sure. He pops up here and there doing stuff, but nothing regular that I'm aware of. He may be doing stuff online.
Milk and Cheese hasn't come back out in 100 years.
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. Speaking of people that haven't put out books that we really love in 100 years,
yeah.
Did you know that Liberty Meadows was coming back?
It's like for real coming back? Or because I just got the previews today, and it's a new collection of the Sunday strips.
Well, our friend...
Uh-huh.
Automatic Matt from Automatic Comics in Corsham, UK.
Yeah.
His shop was just featured on the Bleeding Cool shop of the day or whatever.
Right.
And in there, he mentioned something about the book is coming back. Now, I did see what you're talking about, the solicitation. So I'm wondering if they're going to re-put out the collection and then maybe the book is, the strip is picking back up.
This claims to be the first collection of the Sunday strips of Liberty Meadows. What?
Wasn't that University Squared?
No, the University Square was his college newspaper.
Right.
I don't
the predecessor to Liberty,
Liberty Meadows was not in newspapers. It was only comic book form.
No, I believe it was, sir.
Oh, well, in any event.
It absolutely was.
In any event, that's what the collection is that's coming out. I hear something about the book coming back, but
I will get more information for next week.
Well, hopefully.
Perhaps hopefully. Someone out there knows. And if they do, you can give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050. Maybe if Frank Cho is listening, he can give us a call.
Frank Cho is listening. He could scrap. Go ahead.
Geek Stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
Yes.
Yes, we really only have one, unless you got something laying around here.
This could quite possibly be, like, truth beyond truth. The second one in this line that I really, really want to own.
And we still don't have an answer, by the way. About
numbering?
The numbering. We'll get to it. This
Sergio
is the latest.
Is the one I really want.
Right.
But I kind of really want this too.
The latest in the Batman black and white statue line from DC Direct is Batman designed by Sam Keith and sculpted by Jonathan Matthews. And you really got to give it up to Jonathan Matthews because this looks exactly like the Sam Keith sketch. It's frightening because you don't really see Sam Keith in 3D that much. Especially...
No. The
kind
max.
Of really well done.
That's
like
about
this.
It, is what you see. You see the max.
Right. And what we should say is, yes, this one also, even though it says limited edition on the box,
right,
there is no numbering that I can ascertain.
Do we have an edition size?
No.
So no nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, right. Okay, no. Well, yeah, okay. Sorry. Well, I was going to say we wouldn't have an edition size if there was no numbering, but that's not true. They could say limited to 500 pieces and just not number them.
That's true, but why would you not number them?
They do that sometimes.
No, they don't. That's been the whole argument. No,
that there have been plenty of times where Sideshow will put out a 12-inch figure and it'll say limited to 1,500 pieces, and it's not numbered.
Sideshow putting out a 12-inch figure is one thing.
My point being is the two do not need to necessarily be together. They have not been married.
I don't understand why stop in the middle of a line. I really want to attempt to get an answer.
I think it's because they hate you.
Well, we got to give it up to Jonathan Matthews as a sculptor because he has done some of what I consider, I mean, really, I would say the two hardest artists to capture in 3D would be Sam Keith
and be
effective, and Mignola, which is the other one that he sculpted.
See, now that's interesting because I don't necessarily know that I think Mignola is that hard to capture.
To make it look just like it walked off the page. I don't know. I want to give
the guy his props. I'm just saying that whoever it was that did the Hellboy figures, the comic book Hellboy figures,
right?
Those are pretty fucking good.
Yeah, they are. Oh, totally. I'm not saying that. Right. I'm not saying that guy isn't good. Also, no.
But I think Keith is a little bit different, and you can't say the Max because the Max is really kind of a. As far as Sam Keith artwork goes, it's a basic, simplistic kind of character.
And not only that, there have been two versions of that figure done.
Right.
Neither of which
really
I thought was really spectacular. I thought the first one, without mentioning company name,
right.
I thought the first one that was accomplished was actually much better, much closer to the artwork than the second one.
Well, I think that both of them, to me, were more from the animated series than they were from the book.
Oh, I don't know.
My opinion.
I think I might argue at least my on the opinion. First one. Second one, maybe, but the first one, I don't know. The first one is pretty.
I have both of them.
Of course you do. You have everything.
I'm a Max fan. Uh-huh. I like Sam Keith.
Well, anyway, this one is going to run you in the area of 80 beans.
It's about right for those.
Yeah, that's about the consistent price, I would say. More coming today, Darwin Cook.
That's one that I'm going to need too.
I thought they had already done a Darwin
Cook. Maybe this is the second run. Maybe they just changed the logo on the chest.
No, they didn't pull a Mignola. But they did just solicit it. So
they did a Darwin Cook already.
I thought they had, but then I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember what it looked like.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe.
He's so popular right now. Who cares, man? Bring it on. And Darwin Cook is about to do all of that Watchmen questionable material.
Questionable. Good.
Which I'll be reading in trades. All that was solicited today, too, for the Watchmen prequel stuff was all solicited today. The first issues of all of them, yeah. So that's coming.
It's coming. It's on the horizon.
In trades. I'm waiting.
All right.
And I don't know all of it. Some of it I'm going to read. I don't want Alan Moore to not ever talk to me again.
He will never talk to you again.
If he finds out I read it, he'll be angry at me. You heard what he said about those other people.
He will never talk to you again.
Batman Black and White statue, folks. As designed by Sam Keith, DC Direct, always doing great stuff. Although it seems less and less product is coming from DC Direct, and more is coming from Mattel.
Well, you know. You know.
Just saying.
All right. I think with that,
yep, OG. With that, we'll take our final break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 244, 6 years and cringing. Ha, I got through the whole thing.
I'm so proud of you.
Hey, this is Adam West from Batman and Family Guy and a few other things.
Who is it this time? Commissioner, Joker, Egghead, Riddler, King Tut?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 244, 6 years and cringing.
OG, I think right now we should talk to people before we get into the wrap up about Superpower Collectibles.
We should, in fact, talk to them about Superpower Collectibles, the website that you want to go to for all of your geeky needs.
All?
Yeah, Yeah, toys, statues, comics.
They have all those?
All of those things.
Wow. You know you're going to buy stuff. You know you're going to buy $50 worth of stuff at some point.
And when you do?
Yeah, at Superpower Collectibles, if you spend your $50 there, put in the coupon code BIGKEV.
That's right.
And receive $10 off.
Oodle lolly.
That's right. We're worth $10.
Oodle lolly.
He couldn't even bump it to like 10% or like, you know, like a $15 or something. $10.
You know, oodle lollies. That's like the old days too.
Oodle lolly.
Yeah, so check out superpowercollectibles.com. A great sponsor of the show. Help them out. Help us out. And get yourself some good, fun stuff. Yeah, cool swag.
That's all. OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Michael Bay.
Oh, God. What a...
And Kevin Eastman.
Let me just get Brett Ratner to direct so I can totally avoid the movie.
So, wait. Michael Bay to produce, Brett Ratner to direct, and Kevin Eastman to get to lick his thumb and
put his
stamp of approval on it.
His slime of approval.
Yeah. All right. We also talked a little bit about tonight. Lone Wolf and Cub, possible movie coming out. Netflix not picking up Terra Nova. Oh, my God. Something I totally fixed. How the hell did I miss this? We'll talk about it in a second.
Okay.
And Ra's al Ghul coming back for The Dark Knight Rises.
Ra's al Ghul.
I'm saying Raj.
It's not the lead character from What's Happening.
All right.
Okay, Ernest Thomas is not coming back.
That's Raj. Yeah. Totally different.
You said Raj. No, it's Raj. The character's name on What's Happening was Raj, R-A-J.
All right. So this is Raj, R-A-H-A.
It was Roger, but they called him Raj.
Something I really wanted to bring up in the news, and maybe I'll tease it and save it for next week. Do you remember Gone?
Yeah.
We'll talk about it next week.
Oh, man, really?
Yep.
Sheldon Moldoff, the last surviving contributor to Action Comics number one, and really just a great golden age presence in the DC Universe, passed away at the age of 91. He did do a lot of contributing to things that we all appreciate in the DC Universe, so he should be remembered for doing so.
Absolutely. And, of course, then we moved into DVDs tonight. Really only two, really only one we wanted to mention. I'm not giving that 4.5. Even though I love the show, I'm not giving Sci-Fi their due. But you do want to check out Comedy Central South Park Season 15,
yep.
The Return of Mysterion.
That's the last episode, yeah.
So check that out, out on DVD this week. And then we boogied into comics.
Yes, where we spoke about Green Hornet number 23 from Dynamite Entertainment. Also from Dynamite Entertainment, Voltron number 4.
Yay!
From Marvel Comics, Moon Knight number 11. Last issue? Is it? Is it not?
Say that it is not.
I say we have to wait another month to find out. Batman the Dark Knight number 7 from DC Comics. There was others, too, except we just didn't want to talk about them.
And, of course, in our new events section of the show, the Candy Coated Custom Show, coming to you April 21st at the London Candy Company on Lexington Ave in Manhattan, featuring some fantabulous artists. Of course, put on and hosted by Tenacious Toys, so be sure to check that out. Hopefully, we will be there, and you can come and hang out with us that night as well.
Yes, we will be signing autographs.
I don't think we'll be doing that.
No? I'm keeping a pen in my pocket.
Yeah, just in case.
Is that thing coming out where autographs may be appropriate?
We did get an update on that recently.
Oh, yeah, we did?
And, yeah, didn't you get the update where they're sending the things to us to sign, actually?
No.
Yes, we talked about
that.
Oh,
yeah, we had to give them our address.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's coming this summer.
This summer that's coming out?
I believe that's this summer is when the full release
is. We have to do the thing before that.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Moving into product.
Yes, the only one tonight was Batman Black and White statue designed by Sam Keith and sculpted by the dreamy Jonathan Matthews.
That's right.
Going to run you about $80, continuing the line. And we also mentioned the Darwin Cook Batman was solicited, but we can't decide whether there was a Darwin Cook.
I can't find the existence of one.
No, there was a Darwin Cook action figure.
You know what? There was that series of figures. What was the name of it?
The New Frontier.
Was it New Frontier?
Yeah, they did like two lines of New Frontier.
Yeah, there was a Green Arrow in that one, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that one.
Imagine that.
The base on that figure, one of the best Green Arrow bases ever. The arrows for that figure, DC Direct, should be murdered in the streets for the arrows on that figure.
Wow.
I'll leave it at that.
Hurtful.
Wonderful. And with that, OG, we'll bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close by saying good night, just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree. By caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star. Yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar, over snow by winter sown.